Welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you, coast to coast and around the world on American Forces Radio Network. Always a pleasure to welcome the hilarious stand-up comedian Alonzo Bowden. He is back in town. He will be having a set at the big room in town, Cobb's Comedy Club. And Friday he'll have a show, and then two shows on Saturday night as well. Alonzo, welcome back to the show. I always wonder with comedians, because as you know, the punchline has the low roof and there's people to the left and the right, a little bit smaller. And as I mentioned, Cobb's is bigger. They have the high stage, the former music venue. So you have the balcony and the high ceiling. Does that affect how you perform, or do you just try to block all that out?
Well, Rick, let me start with a sports story and say that anger your whole crowd by saying I wish the Mets had stayed in San Francisco and not gone down to San Diego. All right, that's my home team. Since we're talking sports.
The Mets?
New York Mets. Yeah, that's right. I said it. Stop laughing.
Okay.
Anyway, in answer to your question, no, it doesn't make a big difference. I mean, you know, when you talk about low ceilings, the D.C. Improv in Washington, D.C., the ceiling is 6'5". I'm 6'3". Okay, so does that help? Not really. I'm scared the whole show. Large venues, you play bigger. You play to the room. So I've worked them all, man. I've worked from, you know, like I said, where the ceiling is 2 inches above me to working. I once did a show in Carnegie Hall. Not my own show, but I was there. And you talk about trying to fill a room.
You know, I was at the DC Improv in December. I saw Greg Warren out there, so I know what you're talking about. By the way, when I was playing high school football in the 80s in Richmond, California, we had we wore black helmets, and we were allowed to put whatever graffiti — it was kind of in the hood — we could put whatever graffiti we wanted on the side of our helmet. And I put a snake on the side because I loved Ken Stabler. But my friend Alonzo, he just had real big Z-O. He was just Zo. So do you go by Zo as well, or do you like that or not?
I'm okay with it. Different people seem to have different nicknames. The one that bothered me was when I used to play ball, they used to call me Al. And I don't know where they got that from. And I was like, that is the worst shortening of my name. But I do get Zoe on occasion, and I'm cool with that. I get Alfonso, which I don't even bother correcting him anymore. And, yeah. You know who helped my name? Alonzo Mourning made the name famous to where people could pronounce it. And then they asked, was I named after him? I said, yes, 10 years in advance. 10 years before he was born, I was named after him. My dad was psychic.
Well, speaking of family, my grandfather from Denmark, he went by Bo. Anybody call you Bo?
No, I haven't got a Bo. I haven't got a Bo.
Oh, you could be Zo. You could be Zobo. Don't hang up.
Rick, that's kind of close to clown. That's close to clown, Rick.
That's too close to Bozo, isn't it? My bad. All right. I'm always interested in how —
I'm sorry about the Mets joke.
Oh, you know what? I got confused because when you said moved, I thought you meant like the friend. You meant when they left town. Now I get it.
Yeah, when they left town.
Yeah, okay.
They beat the Giants and they're losing to the Padres.
Okay.
Rick, is this a sports show? Do you watch baseball at all? I don't know.
Well, see, I'm an Oakland guy, so
did I dial the NPR affiliate?
Do you know what's funny is that the NPR affiliate will bring me in sometimes to explain sports, and they'll say things like, why is everyone so excited about the Golden Gate Warriors? And I'd be like, oh, man. So just little things like that. But I was going to ask, I'm always amazed at veteran comedians like yourself can put together a new hour and take it on the road, because I know you'll get 5 and you'll get 15 and then you'll get, you know, but you got to keep working, and maybe that last 10 minutes, you know, how is that road for you?
You know, I love the work, and I'm known amongst friends for being prolific because, for one thing, I like going topical, and I don't know if you've looked outside lately, but that is a nonstop flood. As a matter of fact, the bigger challenge than doing an hour is trying to stay funnier than the actual news. That's my biggest challenge these days.
Wow.
But I think it's a constant process, right? You're always writing new stuff, working on new stuff, and then sometimes something will spark a bit that I used to do, or it'll an idea I had, I'll just be on stage and throw the idea out, and it'll flow in the moment. And then as soon as I get off stage, I got to write that down, you know, remember what I said and write it down. And then you go back on stage and try to remember how you said it, or just say it and it comes out differently. Sometimes you find the word that makes something funny, or you know, change the phrasing. So, yeah, it's a constant evolution, but that's what makes it fun. I would never want to do the same hour for, like, 2 years, and then it becomes a recital. It's not even a show. Your mind isn't even there. You're just, you know, talking, rehashing what you've already said. So I love the constant creativity, and I'm always working on something new.
I know that when you were getting started off, you were, like a lot of guys do, you're working the door at the Laugh Factory. And two springs ago, because I always go to the store when I'm in L.A., and I thought, you know what, I got to go to the Laugh Factory. And it was a Sunday, so I bought a ticket to something called Chocolate Sundays. I didn't know what that meant until I showed up, and I was the only white dude there. But it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that goes back to the Def Jam era and to the, I would say, in the early 2000s, comedy clubs were coming up with different nights. You know, there was, like, the Black comedians' night, and it was a gay comedians' night, the Asian comedians' night, and so on, and they had all kind of names for it. So it goes back to that, but it's not like, you know, now, that, and I'm happy about it, that comedy has broadened, right? So no comedian has to fall into a stereotype. In other words, if you're a Black comedian, you don't have to come from the hood and say, you know, I don't know who my dad is. Or if you're an Asian comedian, you don't have to do jokes about, you know, you can't drive, or, you know, whatever the stereotype. Comedy's expanded beyond that. But as far as names of the show, I think they already printed up a bunch of tickets and said, yeah, we'll keep it the same.
I remember Chappelle talking about that, too. He's like, another Black comedian, just say, man, remember it was rough in the PJs. He was like, word. And then he's like, I grew up in a white neighborhood. I don't want to tell anyone.
Yeah, I mean, listen, my story, I grew up in a Black neighborhood, but I was bused to white schools.
Right.
And I started doing stand-up in the 90s when Def Jam was huge. And I was not a Def Jam comic. I got to tell you, there were certain comics, there's a few, George Wallace, Cedric the Entertainer, guys like that, who told me, be who you are. Don't try to fill, you know, don't try to fake it and act like you're something else. Just be who you are. And in the beginning, it was tough, but it came around. And, you know, I'm glad I did it. And now I'm one of the old heads, and I've had younger comedians say, man, it was so good to see you do mainstream comedy because it let us know we could do it. That felt great to hear. And then they reminded me how old I was.
Well, one of my crowning moments of interviewing comedians over 20 years is I once helped George Wallace write a joke, and he used it on stage, and he thanked me. And I thought, if I can get George Wallace to do a joke, then that was my little badge of honor, Alonzo.
I have written a number of jokes for George Wallace. I'm still waiting to see a check. They're very funny. They work. And, yeah, he just reminds me I'm a punk-ass kid, which is what I was when I first met him.
Well, let me ask you this, because you're the perfect person to ask. There was this video that went viral, a couple weeks ago, of, I think it was Southwest, but there was a mechanic putting what looked like duct tape around the engine of a 737. But people were like, no, that's not duct tape, that's standard. Now, I know you worked in that industry. You worked on aerodynamics and engines. Is that true that there's tape for that type of stuff?
So it's so funny you bring this up, because my brother just sent me the video and was like, what's up with that?
Mm-hmm.
So now I worked on airplanes, you know, it's been 30 years. But, even back then, we had what we called it was 600-mile-an-hour tape, right? It looks like tape, but it's actually strips of aluminum, adhesive aluminum. Just think if duct tape were made of aluminum.
Right.
Okay? And that's what you're doing. And usually it's to cover up something that's not aerodynamic. It might be a seam. It might be a dent. And when I say a dent, I mean like planes get hit by rocks and stuff just the way your car does.
Yeah.
So it's usually to cover up something like that. And they tape it until they can fly it to where they can repair it. So that's usually what it is. Now, the thing is, they're not supposed to be letting you see that that's done. You know, I mean, it's like, listen, don't let them see, you know, how the sausage is made, right? But no, to all your listeners, to people flying, the tape that's used on an outside of an airplane is not the duct tape that you buy at Lowe's or Ace Hardware. It's a bit more expensive and more specialized, just like the bolts that hold the engine on the airplane are not the same bolts you're using to hang pictures in your living room. Yeah, different world.
Thank goodness. And showing the multi-talents of Alonzo Bowden. Make sure to see him Friday night at Cobb's. He's got two shows on Saturday night as well. You can go to cobbscomedy.com for tickets. Alonzo, always great having you on, my man, and have a great time when you're in town.
Rick, thank you. And I think this is the first interview I've done that has covered both careers. So I appreciate that.
You got it. Anytime, my man.